This is KVNF Regional News. It's Monday, March 17th. I'm Patricia Naft. A third suspect has been arrested in connection with the alleged murder of Aspenite Nancy Pfister. Catherine M. Carpenter, 56, was booked into Pitkin County Jail on Saturday. She faces charges of first-degree murder and conspiracy to commit first-degree murder. The arrest comes after Carpenter called authorities shortly before 6 p.m. on February 26 to report a body found in a closet at Pfister's home located off of West Buttermilk Road. On March 2nd, deputies from Garfield County and Pitkin counties executed a search warrant and removed contents from Carpenter's employee housing unit at the Christiana Lodge located off of Main Street in Aspen. The unit is owned by Alpine Bank, where Carpenter has worked for more than 20 years. A bill to ban talking on cell phones while driving failed in the House Transportation Committee last Wednesday. Two Democrats joined Republicans in defeating the measure. Benta Berkland has more from the state capitol.
Lawmakers were brought to tears after Shelley Forney from Fort Collins testified about her 9-year-old daughter Erica's death. Erica was biking near her home when a woman driving her car and talking on her cell phone ran into her.
When she got out, she didn't realize she had hit someone or something. She didn't know what had happened. She never applied her brakes. When the investigator spoke with her, we found out the reason that all of this happened was because she was finishing a phone call and had no idea that her vehicle had drifted over into that bike lane right where my daughter was.
House Bill 1225 would have fined people caught talking on cell phones in school and construction zones. Fines would also be issued if talking on a cell phone caused an accident. Drivers could use hands-free devices.
The stories told today really broke my heart and terrified me, because I'm guilty of distracted driving.
That's Representative Dominic Moreno of Commerce City. He was one of two Democrats voting against the bill, questioning whether it went far enough.
I'm concerned that it's only a primary offense in school or construction zones, that the penalties aren't strong enough.
Republican Representative Polly Lawrence of Roxborough Park also voted against the measure, saying it wouldn't solve the problem.
I mean, there's a lot of different things that affect distracted driving, screaming kids, you know, spilling a Coke in the car, eating in the car, changing the radio station. I don't quite understand why we're focusing just on a cell phone.
But others, including Democrat Diane Mitch Bush of Steamboat Springs, say while not perfect, it's a step in the right direction.
This bill may save one life, two lives, three lives. But even if it's one life, that's immeasurable.
A similar measure failed at the State House 5 years ago. The bill was eventually watered down to include a ban on text messaging while driving. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
Capitol coverage supported by Pikes Peak Center, Colorado Springs. Presenting an evening with Garrison Keillor, the ambassador for Lake Wobegon. Tickets now on sale at all Ticketwest locations or pikespeakcenter.com.
A computer virus at Valley View Hospital in Glenwood Springs may have compromised more than 5,000 patients' personal information. That's according to the Glenwood Springs Post-Independent. The virus took screenshots of web pages from some computers at the hospital. It stored the information in hidden files that contained personal and like bank account and social security numbers, credit card information, and dates of birth. A hospital spokesman said it's not clear whether anyone accessed the information. Still, they're notifying anyone who may have been affected. There's also a hotline that people can call. Valley View Hospital is now beefing up its IT security. During last September's floods, some rivers jumped their banks to carve new channels. Others stayed put, unleashing tremendous pressure on aging irrigation infrastructure. Dozens of ditch systems were damaged or destroyed. The canals are essential to Front Range farmers. Repairs on many are already underway, but as KUNC and Harvest Public Media's Luke Runyon reports, as the weather warms, it'll be a race to mend the ditches before the snow starts to melt.
Last September, the Little Thompson River swelled about a mile away from farmer Mark Nygren's fields in Johnstown in Weld County.
Until spring runoff hits, I mean, it's just a little A little creek.
A little creek that turned into a raging river. His neighbors were inundated. Some lost barns, trucks, and livestock. Nygren's farmland was untouched. But that wasn't the end of his worries. Further upstream, the ditches that divert water to his fields were left in tatters.
We solely depend on irrigation. And, you know, in these short water years, it's scary. And then you run into something like this where there might not be any water delivered.
Heavy metal gates that pull water from the river were upended in every stream the flood affected. Without them, the vast network of canals would remain dry. Total damage is in the millions. Renovation of the biggest ditch systems is underway, but farmers are still bracing themselves for a long, tough irrigation season.
Okay, it's missing, but over there on that inlet that goes underneath the railroad tracks is the inlet to a lake.
The heart of the Highland Ditch Company's diversion infrastructure is situated right outside the town of Lyons along the St. Vrain River in Boulder County. At the time of the flood, much of it was more than a century old. Superintendent Wade Gonzalez says repair work began right after the floodwaters receded.
They got a concrete wall that goes clean down to bedrock now.
And so, it wasn't like that before.
And it wasn't like that. They say that's what takes these out is the water gets underneath them and then it blows them out.
But others weren't so prepared. A recent state report shows more than 40% of irrigation structures in the St. Vrain watershed won't be up and running by May 1st, a critical time for spring planting. 30% of structures along the Big Thompson are in the same boat. And Gonzalez says even those systems that are fully rebuilt, like his own, could face trouble later on.
The thing that makes me nervous now is the debris that's left that isn't cleaned up. What is that going to do? Are we going to end up with the same problem?
A lot of us are kind of in this weird position where we're rooting for snowpack and we're rooting for runoff for the irrigators.
Sean Cronin is director for the St. Vrain and Left-Hand Water Conservancy District.
But we're not rooting for snowpack or runoff for the flood recovery effort.
After years of drought, this season's high snowpack in the South Platte River Basin should be a welcome sight for farmers. But with some irrigation systems still in disrepair, or only with temporary patches, Cronin says this will be the first real test since September's floods.
Time will tell how great a job we did on the temporary recovery. When runoff comes, we'll know what we did well and what we could have done better on.
And Johnstown farmer Mark Nygren says he's feeling more optimistic than he did in those days just after the floodwaters receded. The systems he relies on are on schedule for their repairs.
We've got everything fixed and we think the ditch is going to run, you know, water. But I think there's going to be things that come up that were unforeseen.
Unforeseen challenges, not just for farmers and their fields, but for the thousands of other Coloradans still affected 6 months after the flood.
Luke's story comes to us from Harvest Public Media, which is a collaboration among KUNC and other public media stations across the Midwest. You can find other stories or comment on this one at harvestpublicmedia.org. Up next for you, we have Western Slope Skies, produced by the Black Canyon Astronomical Society. This week, we'll hear about another female astronomer.
This is a continuing series on women in astronomy. Today, we meet Margaret Burbidge. Margaret Burbidge was born in 1919. She received her Ph.D. in astronomy in 1943 from the University College. In 1945, she applied for, but was denied, a Carnegie Fellowship at the Wilson Observatory because it was reserved for men only at the time. In 1948, she married Jeffrey Burbidge, a theoretical astrophysicist. In 1955, Jeffrey applied for and received a Carnegie Fellowship at the Wilson Observatory. Jeffrey was a theoretician and did not use telescopes. The subterfuge notwithstanding, Jeffrey and Margaret were given access to the telescopes, where the research was all Margaret's. In 1957, Margaret, Jeffrey, William Fowler, and Fred Hoyle published a paper titled Synthesis of the Elements in Stars. This is an iconic paper in astrophysics and is called the B2FH paper for its four authors. The paper identified the nucleosynthesis pathways for all but the lightest of the elements in the universe. In 1972, she was named director of the Royal Greenwich Observatory. That same year, she turned down the Annie Cannon Award because it was given to women only. She said, quote, "It is high time that discrimination in favor of, as well as against, women in professional life be removed," unquote. Margaret Burbidge received the Gold Medal of the Royal Astronomical Society in 2005 and is only the third woman to receive the gold medal. Margaret has been president of the American Astronomical Society and the American Association for the Advancement of Science. You've been listening to Western Slope Skies, produced by members of the Black Canyon Astronomical Society. I'm Brian Cashin.
Stay tuned for the Monday Morning Music Mix, a special edition of the Go Betty Show, No Betty Show with Sin and Merrily. For KBNF Regional News, I'm Patricia Naft.